Hello, and welcome to another episode of R&R's Ask the Expert. I'm your host, Valerie King, R&R's Editor-in-Chief, and I am joined today by Gokul Padmanabhan, owner of Restoration Brokers of America. Now, if you follow R&R's video channel and e-newsletter, Gokul will be for sure a familiar face as he is behind the 2-Minute Selling Tip series. He is well-known within the restoration industry as a leader in helping owners sell their restoration businesses. In fact, he only represents restoration businesses as a broker, and he's helped facilitate hundreds of transactions of restoration companies nationwide. He's also very well-versed in mergers and acquisitions. So, as we embark on a new year, we invited Gokul on to share projections, reflections, and practical advice regarding restoration industry business transactions. Thank you for joining me, Gokul.
Thanks for having me, and congratulations on spelling my last name and pronouncing it. So,
thank you for being here. And disclaimer, I had a debriefing on that briefly before we dove into this. Full transparency. So first question, can you start kind of with an overview of your role at RBA, Restoration Brokers of America, in the restoration industry?
Yeah, sure. It's you know, my background is pretty boring, but so I'm the founder and CEO of RBA, and I founded this about 14 years ago, almost going on 15 years now. And it's a very simple concept. You know, what we found in mergers and acquisitions is restoration industries are so specific, and the way we could bring really good value to our client was to really specialize and really understand the industry. So we help all restoration owners how to prepare the business for sale and how to get better outcomes when they're ready to exit. So that was the sole purpose of founding RBA.
Okay, now can you share a bit about what you were up to before ingraining yourself in the restoration industry?
Yes, off to no good. No, I'm just kidding. Now, you know, I've always been a serial entrepreneur, so I used to own companies in the home services space. I was actually a partner in a restoration business, and that's how I fell into it. Okay, I was a financial partner and an investor in a company, which I later sold out of. And I had a holding company, you know, where we bought a lot of other home service companies and started building them up, very similar to what private equity is doing today, you know, in our industry.
Okay. So I'm curious, because you've said before, you know, you were a serial entrepreneur, you've done so much. What has kept you in restoration? Why are you not so much a serial entrepreneur now and so focused in homing in on this industry?
You know, it's that's a really deep question, correct? And like when you ask that question, like I'm thinking about the last 15 years and how I started on that journey, right? So here's a tip of the iceberg. It started off as it's a great industry and it's great for my business. Honestly, that's where it started. Okay, but as I delved into it, the reason I'm more excited now, like 14 years in, than I was my first year, is all the people and the relationships that I've developed, right? So it started with a pure business, and now it's become very little about it. It's more about people and helping them and listening to great entrepreneurs do fantastic things and then helping them cash out, you know, on the equity and all the hard work over 15, 20, 30 years. I mean, that's what gets me up in the morning. You know, we're like way beyond numbers and we're way beyond all the financial stuff and we're doing really well. And that's not the point anymore. You know, it's really helping the people that I just love. And restoration has so many brilliant, smart people that I could talk to for hours. And you know, sometimes I'll go make a call for 15 minutes and it's 2 hours later, you know, and that's the reason I love it.
That's so great. And such a great evolution in purpose, so to speak, as you've been here for 15 years now. Now, I'm wondering when you work with individuals and I guess over the years, looking through the business transaction lens, which is, of course, your specialty in the industry, and the business transaction lens has been your specialty in others, like you talked about, are there any things that stand out about restoration as an industry, whether super similar to other industries or unique, just because you do have that outsider perspective from before your time here?
Yeah. So, you know, we believe that restoration is very unique, right? It, 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 it's not just construction, it's not just services, it's part first responder almost in many ways, you know. So there's a lot of elements that go into being really successful in restoration. And that's one of the reasons we specialize in restoration, okay? Because it takes a lot of effort to really understand the business and to be able to talk about it intelligently to people that are not in it. So it is very, very different. You know, I think it's one of the few industries where, you know, you're helping people in such moments of crisis. And the mechanics of how you go about doing it is, you're part first responder, like I said, you're part financial person, you're part counselor, you know, to your clients, and you got to run a business. You know, to me, that is a much more exciting and gratifying, I believe, than, I don't know, owning a corner store or something somewhere.
Right. Yes. I'm imagining this Venn diagram as you talk, with more and more circles added and restoration right in the middle. It's like, that's kind of been my experience. It's only been 6 months for me, but I'm just like, okay, there's another circle. Oh, there's another one as I learn more. It's a very impressive industry.
A lot of layers to it.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. Now I'd love to talk about that 1000 foot view of business transactions in the restoration world. First, I guess a brief 101, if you will, of the types of transactions in the restoration world today. How would you categorize that or summarize that?
Yeah. So in our office, we put them in two different buckets, right? So we put, you know, 6 million valuation and under as one kind of transaction, and then we do 6 million and above as another. And they're both being very healthy at the moment. Okay, the restoration, as you know, mergers and acquisitions have been around everywhere. And there's a lot of people, groups trying to create national platforms. There's private equity coming in. There's new private equity coming in all the time. You know, in our office, you know, we've seen in the last year multiples or what people would pay for a business has expanded about 12% from about a year ago. So all this bodes really well for somebody, you know, in the business looking to exit, you know. So the market is healthy at a really high level. A lot of good activity going on, and it should. I mean, we're a good industry, and it looks like everybody in the industry knew it. And now the world is kind of, everybody outside of it is realizing it. And that's good, because what it does is it helps our entrepreneurs in our industry get the true value of what their business is worth.
Thank you.
Think of it like a really great neighborhood that nobody knew about, and all of a sudden everybody knows about it, right? That's kind of what it's happening to our industry at the moment, which is good, because people who bought in that neighborhood knew it all along, and now they're getting rewarded for it.
That's a helpful analogy. I like that.
Yeah.
Could you kind of explain the stakeholders that you see a lot in these different kinds of business transactions? I'm thinking, you talked about private equity. Maybe there are more obvious ones like restoration business owner, but could you just make those clear for us before we get deeper into the interview?
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of stakeholders coming out, right? So you got the private equity folks. So they're pretty heavy, you know, they have a lot of activity going on in our industry at the moment. And usually their strategy is, you know, usually they'll have a 7-year to a 10-year strategy, and they'll want to roll up a lot of these and make it bigger, better, stronger, more profitable, and then they will exit. Okay, that is usually how private equity would work. And then you've got people in the business, regional players, statewide players with 10, 15 offices that are saying, hey, you know, there's a lot of benefit to going national. So they're kind of a pool of buyers for us. You know, and then you also have a lot of family offices and wealthy individual buyers, you know, that are coming in and buying, you know, the smaller businesses, let's say 10 million and under valuation. Right. There's a lot of people saying, hey, I want a recession-proof business. I want all the things we knew good about our business. Everybody's just realizing, and they're saying, I want in, you know. So those are the buckets of people that are coming out at the moment, you know.
Helpful.
Yeah.
Looking back and up until now, what would you say are the restoration industry transaction developments or themes that stick out, at least maybe over the 15 years you've been involved, maybe further back, maybe less, but what stands out to you in terms of how this ecosystem has evolved?
It's really interesting. We did a survey of all of our clients and business owners, right? And we found some really interesting things about the market in restoration, especially. And what we found, and I'm going to read this off, I have it in my screen here. So, you know, 65% of owners, the restoration owners, are baby boomers today. Correct? And then we went and asked them, well, where's your wealth locked up? You know, and we found that almost 80% of their net worth is locked up in their business. Okay, that's the state of industry, right? So all boomers, right, would be what? 60 years or older by 24, 25, I believe, if my math is correct, right? And so the oldest boomers are now 75. That's the major trend that's going on. And that's why there's a lot of M&A activity, because there's a lot of sellers. There's a lot of young people coming in because people are just retiring. There's this whole tidal wave happening in restoration. It started about 2-3 years ago. I think it'll continue for another 4 to 5 years now, you know, as the baby boomers retire and they kind of go on to the next chapter of their lives. And then, you know, you got the next generation taking it over. So huge, huge, you know, tidal wave and factors that are affecting us at the moment, you know, from just within our industry.
Wow. So now that we've looked back and kind of talked about where we're at, anything about the future that you are thinking about a lot or that stands out in your mind, what predictions do you have for the business transaction element of the restoration industry?
Yeah, so we believe, you know, that the future looks good. We believe the next 12 to 24 months, I mean, nobody knows what happens beyond that, to be honest with you. But we do know, you know, with fairly good certainty, the next 12 to 24 months will continue to be healthy, you know, with private equity buyers, you know, regional players rolling up, wealthy individuals getting into the business. I think it will continue to be healthy, the mergers and acquisitions environment. I also think people that have good businesses and can prepare their business for sale can benefit greatly from this environment. So I think these trends are going to continue.
Thank you. All right. Now onto that merger and acquisition topic that we've discussed already. Yeah. What's your stance? I'm curious. What's your stance on consolidation? Do you see it as good or bad, or is it more complicated than that?
All industries have life cycles. Okay. So they start off with a really small industry. Like, you know, if you look at and talk to people like legends in our business, what it was 50 years ago, you know, most of them came from carpet cleaning, for example, or they came from another trade, you know, they just started doing this by accident. And then it's been progressing, right? It's been getting a bigger market share. The market has been growing, you know, so all industries go through that cycle where they start and then, you know, there's a few players that kind of advance the business. And then there's a lot of people that get into it. Then it becomes fragmented. And then this consolidation. Right. And then with consolidation comes other opportunities for newer entrepreneurs to get into the business. You know, so, you know, it's more than just whether it's good or bad. These are just cycles that happen in business, you know, and I think for the most part, to have big players with standardized services across the country is good. But I also think there's room for, you know, the individual family owned businesses that does great work. I think as long as you're doing great work and running a solid business, there's opportunity everywhere. So I don't see it as a win-lose at all. I just see it more as things are changing a little bit. So people are repositioning, but there's winners across like the entire spectrum if you can respond to these conditions.
Thank you. Helpful to have that broader context in looking at industries mature outside of restoration and have always that life cycle to your point.
Yeah.
In a recent chat, you brought up an opportunity gap you don't feel is talked about enough, sort of a supply and a demand mismatch, I think, if you will, in the meaning in that there's this meaningful investment interest that exists. You kind of talked about that already. But there's not a quality pool of businesses to meet the criteria of potential buyers. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. This is something that I think very few people in our industry are talking about. Okay. So, you know, I talked about the baby boomers, right? So we know from all the research that we do in our firm that 7% of all restoration owners will change hands or will exit their business this year. Okay. We know that 80% of all business owners in our industry do not have an exit plan. Okay. And we know that we say no, and your business is unsellable to 7 out of 10 clients that approach us. So you see, there's a huge gap over there, right? On there's a lot of people wanting to buy healthy companies, but there's not a lot of healthy companies in the marketplace for people to buy. And that is the gap. So how do you take advantage of that? Right. So if you study the clues and people that are doing really well in our industry, and if you can prepare your business to where buyers would want to purchase it, you can absolutely take advantage of this.
Thank you. So yeah. Franchise versus independent, another popular debate, if you will, that may not be the perfect word for it. But what's your take on that? Is one model better than the other, in your opinion?
It depends on the buyer, correct? So when people come to our firm, you know, there's extremely successful franchises in our industry. There's extremely successful independents in our industry. So again, I don't think it's a win-lose or us versus them. They're just different. You know, one's chocolate, one's vanilla, or whatever you want to call it, right? So they're just different. And so if you look at a franchise, it's perfect for people getting into the industry, for high net worth individuals, maybe a small family office that wants the support system and grow within it. And there's a lot of merits to being there, okay? And then the independents, you know, it's a completely different buyer for that, right? That's probably somebody that's already been in the industry or is coming from construction that already knows something about the industry. And they want different criteria when they're buying these companies. Right? They don't want to be restricted by territories, and you know, they don't need the support. Maybe they've been in it second generation or third generation. So they both can exist in our industry. I think there's a place for both of them to be extremely successful. But the people that want to buy them are just different. But we need them both to have a healthy industry.
Very good. Okay, now zeroing in as we've talked broader, I'd like to get a little more practical. So I guess it may be helpful to zero in on that individual business perspective and what a lot of what we've chatted about really means, maybe for a smaller business. And let me know if you think it's better to go in a different direction, but like a smaller independent restoration contractor that doesn't have that built-in support system of a franchise. So back to your bi-weekly 2-minute selling tips video series with R&R, which centers on the notion that selling a business shouldn't be approached as, or sorry, it should be approached as a comprehensive process. And that can take years sometimes, you've told me before, depending on the state of the business, the health of the business, like you talked about, the owner's sales goals, and I'm sure a lot more. So can you share more about what goes into preparing a restoration business for sale at a high level? You know, really like the investment that goes into that, especially the effort and the time required?
Yeah, so a couple of points there. Great question. So I could talk like 2 days on this, but I'll try to do it in like 2 minutes, right? So a couple of really key points to the audience, folks that are listening. So the strategy, how you run your business day to day, and the strategies of how to prepare and sell your business are completely different. So that's one. You got to realize that you cannot run your business day to day and expect it to get top dollar in the marketplace. Just like if you had a house that's 20 or 30 years old and you were getting ready to take it on the market. A lot of people are very familiar with dressing up a house and getting a curb appeal and putting some new landscaping and painting, you know, things of that sort to get a higher value. It's very similar in business. So the strategies and the technologies that you're using when you try to exit or when you're preparing to exit are completely different, right? So that's one. And then what we did in our firm is we went and looked at the most successful companies that we have transacted over the last 14 years. Okay, we looked at over 200 of them. And when we put them all out and started looking for clues, and we found that companies that have a lot of buyer interest, that got multiple offers, that sold at asking price, that where the owners kind of ran off into the sunset with you know, good equity and got rewarded for their hard work. You know, they all have these things in common. Okay, they have great financials, for one. Okay, they have some good growth potential in the sense the business is not declining, right? Revenue streams, they got a great mix of TPA and individual and internet lead generation and different varied customers, right? Sales and marketing plan, you know, customer reviews, you know, and bench strength. Okay, bench strength is also one of those key things. So we found that companies that got multiple offers that buyers are really interested have these factors in mind. Yeah. So this is what you want to prepare your business to be. You want it to have these six dials in it.
Okay. Very helpful.
Yeah. Very high level. Now we could talk about each dial for like an hour, but at a high level, that's where we are. That's what
very
you got to do.
Yeah. And to plug 2 Minute Selling Tips again, though, that really is the spirit of the series, right? Is to give the restoration industry these short snippets and to start thinking about, okay, this is a specific area that you want to invest in if you're preparing your business for sale and there can be a deeper conversation. Is that really what you're aiming to do with that series?
Yes, absolutely. So the 2 Minute Selling Tips are all about how to prepare your business for sale. Okay. And it all comes around and is centered around our new book that will be published in January on how, when, and why to sell your restoration business. Okay. We're just doing a revised edition of it, going to print tomorrow, I believe, actually. So
my goodness,
you know, that's coming out. Yeah. So we're excited about that. But all that came out of research. It came out of looking at 200, 250 transactions that were top notch in our firm. And then taking those clues of how and what did those entrepreneurs do differently, you know, that got them those great offers and great interest. And that's what the 2 Minute Selling Series is all about.
Very good. All right. So I'm sure you hear common questions or you see common missteps made when you work with clients or even prospects that you have to turn down in that moment.
Yeah.
Is there a most common misconception that you see had?
Preparation. Right? You have to prepare for an exit, just like you would prepare to sell your house or your car. If you sold your car, you probably go get it detailed before you sell it, right? You sold your house, you'll probably kind of get a nice curb appeal, clean everything up before you sell it. It's the same thing in business. So the biggest misconception, if it comes down to one thing, is again, running a business is completely different than preparing it and selling it. Different strategies.
Two different things.
That is their realization. Yes. Yeah. So if somebody says, you know what, I'm thinking of exiting, if they can just realize that's now I got to go down this path, I can't stay this way. I need to go down the exit strategy and I need to go down this way. That's the realization. I think if we can get our industry and our entrepreneurs to think about that, it'll make a world of difference.
Okay. So if I'm thinking about selling my restoration company, is there a first step, however broad and high level that may be, is there a first step that I ought to take no matter my business size, no matter the health of my business, no matter where I'm located? Is there such a thing? Where do I begin?
So it's very simple. The first thing is you know, you got to analyze your business and value your company and look at it on these six value drivers that we talk about, right? And that gives you a baseline, right? So that tells you, okay, I'm good in these six factors. I'm good in these four success drivers. I'm not good in these two. And then you work on them. So it's a very simple strategy. You know, it's just intentional action that gives you better outcomes. And that's where I would start. Is just start with an analysis of the business.
Very good. Know where you're starting from. And then that'll help inform where to, what
yeah,
to
because,
do next.
You know, that's what we tell our clients all the time. You know, we just say, hey, you know, Gokul, we want to sell, we want to exit. And we tell them, listen, we don't know. Let's start with the baseline. It's like going to a doctor and getting a blood test. You know, that's kind of what it is. You're starting with the baseline. And then from there, we look at the six value drivers and we say, okay, here are the gaps. So now let's implement a 10, 12, 24 month strategy to fill in some of the gaps and get better at it. Now we take it to the market. Buyers really want to buy your business at that point.
Very good. Very straightforward. Okay, you've offered a number of practical tips. Anything yeah. else before we start to close that you wanted to highlight in terms of tips for preparing a business for selling?
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? restoration companies sell on an average every 9 to 10 years. That means it has a new owner. Okay. And you know, we always hear the acronym, you know, businesses fail every whatever, 80% of businesses fail in the first year or 2 years. You know, there's another statistic out there, you know, that businesses fail every 10 years also. Because every 10 years, the market is so different. You have to constantly keep reinventing yourself. Okay. So that is one thought that I would like to leave with is, you know, businesses fail every 10 years. So every 2-3 years, you got to look at the marketplace and respond to it. Correct. And part of that planning could be, hey, I want to ride off into the sunset and exit. Or it could be, I want to retool and I want to respond to the new market conditions. Right.
Very helpful. Planning to sell or not in the near future, that's relevant to you.
Yes.
Before we sign off, anything else that I didn't ask about that you wanted to highlight?
No, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me and really enjoyed it. So thank you again.
Same. I feel the same way. It's a really, really important area for us to keep exploring and sharing insights from. So excited to keep partnering with you through two-minute selling tips and checking in throughout the year on what's going on and what your advice might be for those considering putting their business up for sale, not to mention the broader landscape. So
yeah,
thanks,
absolutely.
Gokul.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me, Valerie.
Absolutely. Actually, one last question, which is before we go, where can our listeners go to connect with you or learn more about Restoration Brokers of America?
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about what is the first thing they can do is just go to our website, you know, www.rbasells.com. And there's a free ebook download. Just read it. It's a 15, 20 minute read. And that'll give you kind of a baseline of all the best practices that we implement for our clients. And when you read through it, things are going to resonate with you or not. And you're going to say, well, I'm ready to exit. Let's think about it. Or you may say it's not for me. And that's okay too. But that's one place where I would start.
Very good. Nice to have that free resource to build an understanding and then decide where to go.
Yeah, there's tons of content on that website. I mean, we got videos. We got, you know, the eBooks. You know, we got workbooks on there. You know, so there's tons of content on there to help.
Very good. Yes, I can attest to that. There's no shortage of resources on the RBA website and free resources. So very good. Thanks for sharing that. All right.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. All right, listeners and viewers, watch for new releases of Gokul's 2-Minute Selling Tips videos the second and fourth weeks of the month. They're also always on our website and YouTube channel, and they appear in our Friday morning e-newsletters. So subscribe to that for free if you haven't yet. And other than that, for more insights on restoration, remediation, and the people behind it all, visit our website, rmagonline.com, also Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to follow the podcast, and that's how you'll keep up with all of our latest episodes. And if you could give us a quick review and rating, we'd so appreciate it. We're also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, so we invite you to follow us there too. This has been R&R's Ask the Expert. Thank you for listening.